In the highlands of southwest Kenya, about 1.5 million people speak an unwritten language called Kisi. Halfway around the world, from the coffee and maize farms of the Kisi district at the University of New Hampshire, students are developing the first ever rule book for the Kisi language. They have only the help of one transplanted native speaker, and he's learning just as much about Kisi as they are. New Hampshire Public Radio's Carrie Grenz reports.
Today is Negation Day. The class works out how to say something wasn't, isn't, didn't, or won't. Seven linguistics majors arrange themselves in a loose circle around native Kisi speaker Henry Gikonde and press him for data.
Can you say that it's not red in Kisi?
Yeah, you could say yaya terimbariri.
Yaya?
Yaya
terimbariri.
Yaya means no.
No, right, and then?
Terimbariri.
The students scribble down their transcriptions using the International Phonetic Alphabet. After class, Henry Gikonde takes a break outside.
Today, this is typical Kisi weather.
But it's unseasonably warm for New Hampshire. A decade ago, he left the rural village of Bomasisi and the tea farm where he grew up to earn a journalism degree at Indiana University. He then became a copy editor for a paper in southern New Hampshire. Last year, he began a master's degree in the linguistics department at UNH, but to study English, not Kisi.
I didn't think that anybody would be interested in Kisi.
It's not a written language. In schools, English and Swahili dominate. Gikonde says many people back home told him studying the language was not worthwhile.
It's a dying language anyway. Not that many people speak it. It's not used in academic research or work or writing. So what's the point of studying it?
To preserve it, says linguistics professor Naomi Nagy. Kisi's not included on the endangered list, but hundreds of unwritten languages are at risk of going extinct in the next century.
I think that's a really important step for people who are interested in trying to preserve endangered languages, is to get the speakers of those languages to realize that their language is just as good.
So Professor Nagy asked Henry Gikonde to be the subject of her language documentation class.
I'm uncovering things about Kisi that I didn't know before. It's very, very exciting. And for some of the questions that the students ask me, I don't really have an answer. We're figuring it out together.
Like, for instance, that there's no to be verb in Kisi. There's an elaborate tense system for actions, but no word for purple. One of the most thrilling discoveries for student Adam Jardine was uncovering Kisi's different noun classes.
It's kind of like in French and Spanish where there's a masculine-feminine distinction. In Kisi, there's eight of those distinctions.
Gikonde's excited by the progress. The class has steered his career toward the pursuit of developing a Kisi dictionary, and it's earned him a better understanding of how the language shapes Kisi identity.
You have computers and cars and things like that. That makes you view the world in a different way. And we have bananas and maize and walks to the market on foot, lots of rain. And we have words that describe that lifestyle that people lead. And that's the way we view the world.
Gikonde's worried the language is decaying. Back home, he says, English invades conversation sentence by sentence. The way he speaks with his friends is different than how he speaks with his mother.
So if I say, for example, a radio is on the table and I want her to give it to me, I say, let me have the radio that is on the table. But if I were talking to my friend, I'll say, on the table.
Gikonde says documenting Kisi can't stop its erosion by English, but it will at least preserve the way his parents' generation speaks.
How would you say it's not a book?
Tarigetab.
The mesa insere?
Yeah, terimesans.
How would you say it's not a chair?
Tarigetab or on kerigetab.
For NPR News, I'm Carrie Grenz.
How would you say it's not a river?
Ndori roje.
Can you say that again?
Kerian.